We've got results from the 5th District. That's an easy way to quiet people down, the results. All right, pens ready. Balloting in the 5th District, ballot 1, Allison Barman, 17. Kelly Doran, 14. Thomas Keller, 0, dropped by the rule. Peggy Lucas, 15. Janie Mayron, 21. So according to the rules, Janie Mayron is selected. Thomas Keller is dropped. And then if you read BD on our rules, when someone receives a 0 vote, the candidate with the fewest number of votes is also eliminated. So according to that, according to that rule, Kelly Doran would also be eliminated. Council Member Christensen.
I would again make my motion to elect Allison Barman, Kelly Doran, Peggy Lucas, and Janie Mayron. I think a large majority, 60% of the body has voted for all four of the candidates. I think they're all qualified and bring unique perspectives that the legislature would want to consider. And I would, repeat a little bit what I said yesterday in I guess lengthy comments before my motion, that if this body is going to exclude qualified candidates that bring different experiences and perspectives, I don't think we can complain that when the legislature goes around and decides to pick somebody that's not been forwarded through the process that brings a different perspective. I think all four of these people are qualified. They all receive significant, over 60% support from the body, and I think they should all be forwarded, and I would make the motion to suspend the rules to do that.
That was a long motion with a second. Again, this is a non-debatable motion, but we'll be generous with points of information. Council Member Carlson.
I agree with Drew because we could vote, and that's what I wanted to do. And I like going by the process that we discuss, we vote, and then we're rational. So I agree.
Any other points of information? Council Member Brady.
Information. If we vote, we do that in a private manner. If we suspend before we vote, we do it in a public manner. And I think it fundamentally changes it. And I just wanted to make that point of information.
Okay. All those in favor of suspending the rules to forward Lucas, Doran, and Barman along in addition to Janie Mayron, who's already been elected or selected, raise your hand. Motion carries. We've got our 5th district. Now for the real work.
Now the fun.
This one will be more complicated. That takes us to the statewide.
This is that.
Sorry. That takes us to the statewide at large seat. We will go through the exhaustive list of candidates. Again, thank you to everybody who resulted in this great list of candidates. We'll start with Lynn Abramson. Council Member Moore.
Thank you, Chairman. Lynn struck me as one of the most polished, well-qualified individuals that we've spoken to throughout this week. Her background in healthcare, I think, will serve the Board of Regents very well, understanding the new agreement with Fairview. And then also just her temperament was just strikingly just pleasant, genuine, and I would definitely recommend her to moving on.
Council Member Rogers.
I have a comment similarly, and as you know, my concerns is that we have someone with healthcare knowledge on the Regents, and of the candidates that we had presented to us, my feeling is that she is the best qualified from that standpoint.
Council Member Carlson.
A third of the university's $4 billion a year budget is healthcare. And this is the first time we have not had a health professional on the board with Patty Simmons resigning in decades. You know, I've been around since 85. I haven't seen it. She served as a CEO and a chair of enormous organizations. I was surprised the bone marrow budget was $400 million a year. I did not understand. I think she will be a great compliment to President Gable. I'm going to borrow one of Allison Barman's quotes. She said that when people saw her walk in the room, they were relieved that she was there. I think President Gable would feel the same way when they see Len Abramson walk in the room.
Additional comments? Councilmember Farrell.
I would just sort of want to remind the group that some, if you thought that her biggest and deepest strength is her healthcare industry experience, that's right. She has so much more experience. If you see her too specifically in that focus, I think it's because our enthusiasm in questioning her was all about healthcare. So we asked her about healthcare because we were so interested about healthcare. I know in even the town hall forum in Eden Prairie with our legislators, it was one of the top concerns that we talked to our legislators about. So not surprisingly, we all asked her a lot about healthcare, and I think if we had branched off into other subjects, we'd have found her equally advised and engaging and very, very intelligent.
Councilmember Rogers.
Just to add what Barbara just said, the one comment she made that I remember for a long time is she said that any new hired CEO of the healthcare organization, the first thing they do is paint the lobby, but they need to ask the other people what color. And I think that's perfectly applies to any business, and including the regents and the president of the university.
Councilmember Brady.
My observation, I think I said it to Margaret afterwards, outstanding candidate, very impressive. I also firmly believe the University of Minnesota needs that medical piece and understanding, because it's such a large component of the institution.
Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly agree with the healthcare, but beyond that, she's a real tested leader. When you look at what she's accomplished, there's no question about that. And then also, I was very impressed with her experience. She has a lot of experience sitting on various committees where governance is extremely important. And I think, again, she's an excellent candidate.
Additional comments? All right, we will move on to Susan Adams Lloyd. Vice Chair Taylor.
I spoke out in favor of Susan when she was with us. I will do so again this morning. She's had a wonderful, successful business career. How can you not like someone who's been a UMAA president? And in addition, Margaret Carlson asked her a difficult question about a circumstance where she served as a volunteer. I've been in positions like that in the past and would feel uncomfortable even being asked about it. I thought she was very forthright and handled the circumstance extremely well.
Councilmember Carlson.
I asked her after the interview, I said, Susan, we felt, well, I actually told her during the interviews, which I thought probably was inappropriate on my part on retrospect, but I said, we have to ask tough questions, because if we don't, the legislature will say, how good was your process? And so what she said to me, she thought about adding that as an answer to question 7, where we said, is there anything we need to know in essence, that we won't read in the newspaper the day after the names come forward, and she decided not to put that on her official application. I was surprised because she's a communication specialist, and I think when Theo kept asking people the question, what's the fundamental of crisis communication, it should put it out there. So I have to share that with you because I did follow up with her.
Councilmember Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think anyone that lives by the quote, you can torture facts until they confess, is worthy of our consideration.
Yeah, that was out. That was additional comment. Okay, we'll move on to Lester Bench.
Mr. Moore.
All right, Mary Davenport. Council Member Christians.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I've been very impressed with Mary Davenport and would just like to make a point that she's been in front of the legislature before last legislative session, and you can look it up on the tape. I did not vote for Mary Davenport, but I think she's a very impressive candidate, and she received she was just a few votes short of being a regent. So I think anyone who receives that level of support from the legislature, on the floor of the legislature, almost 50% of members voted for her, should be forwarded to again be considered by the legislature.
Councilmember Erickson.
To embellish on that same point, she was on the joint committee's slate last spring. So not only was she on the slate, but she got significant votes on the floor. And I commend that to people's memory.
Senator Clausen.
I think one of the things about Ms. Davenport is that she has extensive experience governance of a higher education system. And I think that's a real plus. The other thing, I really liked a couple of things, her crisis management responses, I think, were well-founded. And then also, she talked about performance and accountability of the university system and the Board of Regents. And I think those are things that are strong elements in her favor.
Senator Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to reiterate what Councilmember Christensen had mentioned. And I think that's important for us to know as a council that she made it through this process last time with bipartisan support. And that doesn't necessarily happen a lot around here. So give her a lot of credit for that. And I think it's important that we give the legislature the opportunity to be able to choose her or not choose her as a regent for University of Minnesota.
Councilmember Carlson.
I was impressed that she'd been to every campus in the state university system, because the 50-year problem that must be solved in this state is the proliferation of campuses, 70 or so, and she would bring a credibility on the inside with raising the issue and helping us resolve it, because there will never be enough money until we address that issue.
Additional comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to Robert Eddy, Council Member Christensen.
Mr. Chair, I was very impressed with Robert Eddy. Obviously, he's been very generous, very involved with the university. I'd like to talk a little bit about my time in the legislature. Bob Eddy was frequently knocking down my door in the legislature, advocating for the university, funding and advocating for the U in really every aspect. He's really devoted this portion of his life to the university, and I think his passion comes through. I'd also like to point out, I think he brings a perspective, a good perspective on athletics, which I think we've talked about a little bit in here, is important to the University of Minnesota. And I've talked about it before. I don't think I've gotten on my soapbox in this setting, but you look at, you know, North Dakota State in Fargo, what them having a successful football team has done for that campus and how it's increased their applications, it's gigantic. A lot more kids are going there from Minnesota. It's having a good athletics program is important, and to the academic side. And I think Bob understands that and believes in that, and I think he really kind of de-emphasized that part of his resume, which I just wanted to talk about a little bit. And it's you know, a good compliment to the generous contributions he's also made to faculty chairs and to the academic side. So I would you know, strongly urge people to support Mr. Eddy.
Councilmember Rogers.
Thank you, sir. I was impressed by his knowledge of the standing of this university in comparison to other universities, especially within the Big Ten, and the standings within the various professional schools, the various departments, and the amount of money spent for the various things. I think his knowledge of the current status of the university is just exceptional.
Member Brady?
I did not know candidate Eddy until he came in. Initially, when he began to talk, his answers were sort of conclusive and short. I was concerned a little bit that I was getting the conclusions, but not the thought that led to the conclusions. However, as the interview went on, I recognized there was a depth of knowledge supporting the conclusions that he had. The other thing I'm mindful of in board service, oftentimes I've been asked, and other times I've asked people to serve, and the question often is, what do you expect of me? And of course, we're not expecting much. All we really want is your time, your talent, and your treasure, or your money. And one of the things, when I listen to this gentleman talk, he's already given all three of those in spades, and I was impressed by him greatly.
Councilmember Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilmember Brady and I are on the orientation committee, and we will be meeting next Wednesday at 1 o'clock, inviting the endorsed candidates to come in and be oriented on this process. Mr. Chair McMillan and Regent Beeson and Regent Emeritus Devine will appear there on that behalf. Part of it will be to explain to them and orient them on the process. But more important, the first thing I'm going to ask Chair McMillan to do is brief them on the legislative request and more on the university. And when they go across the street, not only are they campaigning for themselves, they are advocates for the University of Minnesota. And Bob Eddy has been, will be, a advocate for the University of Minnesota. He'll talk more about the University of Minnesota when he talks to legislators than he will talk about himself. And I strongly think he would be, and all of them, I think, will be advocates to, when they have the meetings with legislators. And I think all of that is good.
Senator Clausen.
I'm sure I have a lot of new things to add, but I was impressed with his institutional knowledge of the university system. One thing, though, that I thought that separated him a little bit from other candidates was his passion to really make the University of Minnesota an institution of excellence. And when I asked the question about keeping students at the university, you know, he talked in length about raising the national rankings. We need to make this a place people want to come to, because it's going to be one of the finest. Well, it is one of the finest universities, isn't it? But to really raise it to a level that exceeds that. Impressed with that response.
Councilmember Rogers.
One other comment is his direct involvement in research, but not being a researcher himself, was impressive in that he would support it to that level.
Additional comments? Councilmember Christensen.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if I'm breaking the rules by commenting twice, but I'd like to just share that when I that when I thanked Mr. Eddy for his time yesterday and for his presentation, he had to rush off because he was headed to a meeting to a conference call to discuss the ambulance for the CPR ambulance that he's helping to develop. He needed to get to Starbucks or something because he was having a webcam conversation. You know, they were having a video conference to talk about that. So just, you know, just evidence of his commitment and intimate involvement in the research, like was brought up.
Councilmember Krause.
You know, we talked earlier about Kenyanya kind of giving you this is what the university is about, and you look at Bob Eddy. And it was inspiring. He said, "I think we're going to solve cancer. Engineers going to solve cancer. We're going to save lives with this CPR thing." And it was just inspiring to see someone give so much back to the university and its community, and think broader than himself.
Okay. Additional comments. We will move on to Eileen Herr. Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to ask, I don't know if it's a point of information. I don't know. Can I
sure.
ask a
point? We're generous with those.
Okay, so we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, and this is my first time through the process. After we get through these, will we be able to talk about, like, some of our goals of what this committee would like to get through? Because I know this committee was very intentional, I believe, to get candidates that the Regents Board was lacking at this point in time, and that is gender and diversity. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, will we be able to talk about that collectively as a committee mm-hmm. before we vote?
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point. I think I skipped that step on the 5th District, but yes. And so we'll go through the list and then open it to kind of those macro higher level discussions.
And the reason why I ask is because on this committee, I was just counting, and no disrespect for everybody who's on the committee, but it is disproportionately made up of men. I didn't realize that until I started counting, and it's like more than twice as many men, I mean, like 2.5 times more men on this committee than women. And in the, I'll wait till they're done talking.
We'll go back to that at the end of the list.
Okay.
Okay. Eileen Herr? I'll offer a comment on Eileen. I was really impressed. The list of kind of trailblazing things. The first Hmong admitted to the bar, I think it was. There are a couple of things there that just struck me, and also the recent immigrant her immigrant story and experience, I think, kind of appealed to me. It's a perspective that I don't know that we get a lot of in the current board. So. Representative Bernardi.
And I did want to comment on the candidate, her. And she has good experience, you know, may not have as much experience as some of the other candidates. She brings a perspective that is helpful on any board, and that is a person who is, I believe she was a refugee, wasn't she? And an immigrant. And frankly, students at the University of Minnesota, being able to see that there's broad representation on a board and or on a regents is helpful for people to know that lens is being applied. And it doesn't mean that other people can't apply it, because in my work, I work really hard at looking at equity and trying to, you know, change systems and stuff. But I just want to call her out as a candidate that does have good experience, and she brings a different background to the University of Minnesota, and I just wanted to call that out so that we consider that in our decision.
Additional comments? Council Member Rogers.
Thank you. I would agree with Charlie that she brings a very unique perspective that no other candidate can, and that being her background in being a refugee and the part of the world she comes from, and the part of the city that she moved to, and a whole population of people changed aspects of our medical education just by being there, and she's been involved in that continuing since the time she's moved here. So she would bring unique perspective from that standpoint.
Okay. Councilmember Brady.
She struck me as a quiet, thoughtful, but highly effective leader within the things that she's done to this point. And then also, with respect to what Representative Bernardi said, she does check so many boxes for me on the equity scale.
Councilmember Hipsch.
Thank you. One of the questions that I believe Margaret asked around her pay, and that I thought she had an amazing answer to that. I mean, where she talked about it from her perspective, but also represented say that we need to pay talent that we're trying to attract to the institution, what market demands, and I thought that was a very thoughtful answer for her.
And to add Councilmember Carlson. What she said, but there have to be performance expectations, and they need to meet them year after year. So I was actually more impressed with the what came, the phrase that went after that, after the "and." And I think Joan Gable will be perfectly happy to have that as an expectation.
Representative Bernardi.
And for the record, I just want to say, I said she might not have as much experience as some other people have, and I want to correct that for the record. She has different kinds of experiences, and she's also been on governance boards, and she's been at the Council of Asian Pacific Minnesotans, so she knows the legislative process. So and she's a lawyer. I want to give her full credit for the credentials she does bring, and just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Okay. Next is Kim Eisenberg. Comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to Dean Johnson. Representative Bernardi.
Okay, so I actually fell asleep last night, and I had to re-listen to the end of it because I wasn't quite sure where I fell asleep at. And I shouldn't say who I was listening to because that wouldn't be a good thing. But I do want to say, my point is when I've been listening to the ones, I made up all the ones that I had missed, which was about four, I believe, out of the 23. And so I did listen to all of those. And I noticed that particularly one council member here did disclose how they knew people. and it said it was kind of a practice on this, and I'm new to this. So I just want to disclose that Dean Johnson and Bill Luther are people that I know. One was my congressman, and, you know, we've been in parades together, and we know each other, as well as Dean Johnson. So for full disclosure, and I figure you probably all know that because I've served in the legislature, but I just wanted to add that, and I know they're very good people, so thanks.
Councilmember Carlson.
I asked very tough questions of Dean Johnson, and I have communicated with him by phone and email for the last 4 years on those issues, because he was in a chair to lead, and he did lead for 12 years. And I think it is a very dangerous precedent to start having the Board of Regents have three terms for 18 years. I like Dean. I've known him forever, as you have. But the other thing is that I think we need some fresh voices and fresh ideas. And so I think he has served. He has served well. But we need, all of us need to know when it's time to pass the baton.
Councilmember Christensen.
Mr. Chair, I talk a little bit like I did in the 5th District. I think it's important that we forward on incumbent regents who are running for the same seat onto the legislature to make that decision. And I don't necessarily disagree with Councilmember Carlson that it's a dangerous precedent for to have three terms, regents serving three terms. I find that concerning. There is precedent for regents. Regent Simmons ran and was elected to a third term, but I think it's for the legislature to decide whether that's a dangerous precedent or not, whether and how they feel about that. I think it's important that we're forwarding on incumbent regents running for re-election of their seats so that the legislature can decide whether to re-elect them.
Councilmember Carlson.
Clarification. What happened in the first congressional district, we forwarded two names, and one was a woman who was retiring from the Mayo Clinic. She dropped out. There was only one candidate left, and then Patricia Simmons stepped in at that point. But that was a special circumstance, and then she served for 2 years and then resigned. And I know when Wendell Anderson was on the board, I think he, that's a long, long time ago, I think he would have loved to have had a third term, but he very wisely, like a statesperson, said, it's time for somebody else.
Councilmember Rogers.
Just one other thought I had about that specific situation you mentioned, and we go back to them needing some expertise in healthcare, and she provided that when no one else had it at that time. So I don't think that circumstance is quite the same as the current candidate.
Councilmember Brady.
Every 2 years, usually between 7:30 and 8 in December, my telephone rings, and on the other end of it is a youthful 97-year-old gentleman who has great concern for the university, who I'm sure a lot of you know. It's a gentleman by the name of Tom Swain, and he gives me a lot of thoughts about what we're... Brady, you still on that RCAC? I said, well, I am, Tom. Do you have some? Well, I sure do. In that conversation, usually somehow the history of this body comes up. There's also another committee that selects and tries to depoliticize and make it based on merit for judicial positions in the state. In any event, Tom said to me, not once, but in several of these calls over the years, that one of the purposes of setting this up was there was a time when people would serve and they get entrenched and they would serve and serve and serve. With respect to our tradition of sending on a sitting candidate for a term, yes, we do that, but we do that for those who have served the 6 years, not those who have historically, not necessarily by default, those who have already served 12. So I underline Margaret Carlson's thoughts in this regard.
Additional comments? Council Member Christensen.
Mr. Chair and members, and I understand that Regent Simmons was a different situation, and I share the concern about electing members or regents to a third term. You know, in the legislature, I was unsupportive of that. I just think it's very important that we're allowing the legislature to make that decision. The purpose of this body is not to make the legislature's decision for them. It's to help the screen candidates and forward candidates to the process. And I think an incumbent regent who has served multiple terms, I know when I was in the legislature, I would have been deeply concerned and frankly upset if the RCAC did not forward an incumbent regent absent some grave malfeasance.
I also just, because it fits with this discussion, I want to read for you a section from state law that has to do with the selection criteria that this, it's the duties of the RCAC. There is a line that says the selection criteria must not include a limitation on the number of terms an individual may serve on the Board of Regents. Just so you are all aware of that, that's the selection criteria. That's the document we pass as the first step of this process. It's not necessarily the deliberations that we're making here, but I just, obviously there was some intent to whoever put that in there. So Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think just trying to be quiet and really listen and take this in going into the legislative process and the next step. And just want to weigh in, and this isn't necessarily an endorsement by any means to Regent Johnson, but I do agree with Councilmember Christensen in the sense that I don't think it's for this body, in my opinion, to impose that choice or the will of the legislature in this, in the sense that we've got eight spots here, and everyone can make up their own decision, obviously, on who they vote for. But to say a regent, in especially reading off the rules, that we are determining that he's not adequate, having been voted in by the legislature twice before, to at least have an opportunity, I guarantee you there's a lot of people that have a concern on a third term, including myself. And but at the same time, that's for Regent Johnson to go through the process in a fair manner, and I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Representative Bernardi.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to just like step back a little bit and look at this in a more systemic way, and I can't speak for and I don't even know what his credentials are, but like General, Reverend, Senator, Regent Johnson. But I would say to put him on the slate without a vote does him a disservice. I think it's better to have him be a part of the vote, and this committee decided to pass him on. And I just, and this is where I want to step back a little bit. Systemically, people of color and women sometimes are at a disadvantage because the body is made up of such a large majority of men, and I'm just going to say white men, and I'm married to a white man, and I love my husband, but I'm just saying systemically it's difficult to get people through, and if I would just think having a vote on this that the committee decided to send him through is more important than just automatically sending him through, because if the precedent starts becoming three terms, that's 18 years, and we already have eight men on the board, I'm just saying that is one thing to consider and how this could perpetuate a board that's not reflective of our state. And so I'm not commenting on the merits of sending him through. I just think for his own good and for the state of Minnesota that it ought to be voted on.
Councilmember Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would just offer that, as I understand it, the charge of this council is to forward to the legislature the most appropriate and qualified candidates. I think if a third term or 18 years or whatever you want to look at it is an item of concern, that concern should lie with the legislature and not this council. Aside from that, I would like to speak to Regent Johnson as a candidate. I have not known him personally myself, but generations of my family before me have known him, so since we're disclosing that apparently, I thought I'd throw that out there. But I think anyone with such distinguished service to our state and our country is deserving of being moved forwarded in this process, regardless of what other circumstances might exist. Thank you.
Councilmember Menon.
Yeah, I reiterate exactly what Mr. Otto said, minus knowing anything personally about Mr. Johnson. But I think that we had the charge read to us, and I think taking into account the number of terms that he's served is not part of what we are meant to consider as a council. And I really think that we should caution ourselves during this conversation, because we've acknowledged that that's in our statute, and yet we seem to be having a rather fluid conversation about something that is pretty written in stone.
Representative Bernardi.
So I just want to, and I would love to, I don't know what the two last people who just spoke, I'm not sure if they meant to put it on autopilot, that we automatically pass people on, I thought that was what was originally being proposed. We are going to vote.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted
This is just the candidate play-by-play, so, you know, no
okay.
motion.
Oh, yeah, we
no
have
motion
that.
At this
oh,
okay. stage.
I'm having flashbacks of the other motions.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
not that they're bad. Not that they're bad, yeah.
Councilmember Christensen.
Mr. Chair and Chair Bernardi, there wasn't a motion. I apologize for the flashback. flashbacks to my other motion. I'm just advocating for folks to vote for Regent Johnson for that reason.
Councilmember Carlson.
We are setting a precedent. And Regent Beeson will come up in 2 years. And I think we are setting a precedent. I still think we're going to vote. He probably, if we're sending for 8 through 8, he will be in that pool. But understand, when it goes to you, two things will happen. Sitting regents will apply again and again and again. And do you know what was the hardest thing that I did? And Paul, I think you got the same questions I got. I probably met with 40 or 50 people. And they said to me, if you're going to automatically send people through without voting for them, and certainly a third term, they didn't want to go through the process. So I just have to say to you, we do have a responsibility here, as Representative Bernardi said, to think conceptually what we're doing to affect governance.
Councilmember Menon.
Yeah, and I absolutely understand the concerns about forwarding somebody who wants a third term and the precedent that sets. But my argument then would be to lobby the state legislature to change our mandate, and then also maybe impose term limits on the Board of Regents, because that's not currently what our mandate is as an organization.
Councilmember Erickson.
I value this very productive and I think balanced discussion that you've had, and I think that the issues have been well fleshed out. I don't need to go to those. I just want to say that I am going to vote for Dean Johnson for going back to a word that Councilmember or Chair Bernardi used, bipartisan. Dean Johnson has been the head of the Democratic or the DFL caucus in the Senate and the head of the Republican caucus in the Senate. A very unique situation. So I simply say that apart from the issues, and I agree with almost everything everybody said on the other issues. Thank you.
Additional comments? All right, we'll move on to Bill Luther. Councilmember Erickson.
Thank you. Those of you who were here 4 years ago, I'd like to do a bit of history with respect to Representative Luther. And by the way, I know, because of my practice and my profession, I know him like everybody else, and I've been the person that discloses that. Let me give you a bit of history about 4 years ago. Councilmember or candidate Luther was a candidate 4 years ago. We interviewed him. He came before us. We also interviewed another former legislator named Maury Lanning. And I made the point, and I think persuasively so, that at that time there were two legislators on the Board of Regents. And I made the point that if we forward and support Councilmember Luther, or candidate Luther, we would necessarily probably also support candidate Lanning. They would be on our list, and just the dynamics of the legislature is they would both be elected. The two bodies would say, we'll give you Bill Luther and we'll give you Maury Lanning. Both of them, I told them, and I told Bill, and he quoted me from the podium that I told him then he was a great candidate and he'd be a great regent. But I said, I don't think we should have four former legislators on the Board of Regents out of 12. That was my position. It would look like it was the annex of the Capitol or Capitol West. And so I argued to you, and we did not forward either Representative Luther or former State Representative Lanning. It was a tough call, but I said that now that's a different circumstance. We may have only one former legislator on the board now, could have two. Bill would be three if there were three, and is three different than four? I don't know, but I think it had been, we'd had a history of a lot of former legislators coming back, and my position at that time, which a majority of you agreed with, it may not have been fair to Representative Luther, certainly not fair to Representative Lanning, he said, gee, I wish you'd told me and I wouldn't have spent, that that was the case, or I wouldn't have spent $1,000 to fly back for the interview. So I apologize to both of them, but I think the principle is good, and I wanted to make sure people know why we did not forward him last time. That's, those of you who are here might remember that. So.
Jim, I appreciate that background, too, because I think I've heard from a number of people who seem to be under the impression that we have a policy of some kind pertaining to former legislators. Mm-hmm. I've heard that a number of times from people, so I appreciate your clarifying that. What we do is based on what's happening today and the needs of the Board of Regents, and I appreciate your history on that. Councilmember Carlson.
He has had no significant governance experience in the last 15 years other than mediation. He wasn't familiar that there are 54 campuses on the Minsky campus. He said there were 30. He said there were no outstanding candidates in the 3rd Congressional District that we passed along. It simply is not true. Senator Terry Bonoff worked very hard to get Michael Belzer, a physician from the Hennepin County Medical Center, and he was one of our endorsed candidates, and the other was Paula Prowell, one of the most outstanding women in Minnesota at the time from Best Buy, who later went to Data Recognition. And I ask many of the white males the same difficult question on diversity and inclusion, and he did not answer it the way that I think the men who stood tall, including Donovan, answered that question. I will not vote for Bill Luther, and I have known him for decades.
All right. I'm filling in for Dan, real quick. Councilmember Christensen, I think you raised your hand.
Madam Chair and council members, I would appreciated the history from Councilmember Erickson, and I think it is important that there's a thought of limiting former legislators on the Board of Regents. I don't think I share his concern with it becoming a retirement club for legislators. With that said, I do think it's important to have a former legislator or two on the Board of Regents. I think it helps when the University of Minnesota is making their request to the legislature. Its relationships between the university and the legislature have for a long time gone up and down and been rocky at times, and I think former legislators on the Board of Regents can be powerful advocates. I would also specifically to former Congressman Luther point out that 4 years ago on the floor in the joint convention, he was one vote short of being elected to the Board of Regents, and I did not vote for former Congressman Luther.
You were the vote.
I was the deciding vote. I was the deciding vote that first. But I think it's important to recognize that the legislature was quite literally one vote short of electing former Congressman Luther, and I think the same principle that applied to Mary Davenport applies in this situation. I would also note that the partisan makeup of the legislature has changed in those 4 years. A lot more members favoring Bill Luther, and if these members were elected 4 years ago, he would likely be on the Board of Regents. So I think it's important that we forward former Congressman Bill Luther. I'll be supporting. I'll be voting for him to be forwarded for consideration by the legislature.
Councilmember Otto, were you next?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. Just as a former, maybe recovering is maybe the better word, staffer, albeit from across the street, I'm not convinced that having legislators or more than four or three or six on the Board of Regents is necessarily a bad thing. Again, I think I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. I'm sticking by kind of our charge to forward the best candidates that we have in front of us. And if a certain number of former legislators being on the board a concern, I think is something for the legislature to address and not this council. Thank you.
Representative Bernardi.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to just talk about systemically. I already told you that I I'm fond of Bill, Congressman Luther, and I don't know if you say former or what, but he earned the title, and I think he still has it. And so I'm not commenting specifically about his candidacy, and I know that it has been proposed that he automatically gets through, because now Councilmember Christensen, you weren't promoting, like, just automatically sending.
Not automatic.
Right, yeah, and so I understand that now, so I misunderstood that one before. So I think it's very important that we vote on him. But I just want to, I want to mention systemically, when we have these mindsets of sending someone on because they've held a position before, it creates inequity, because the makeup of, have you ever been to county commissioners conventions? It is very, very male dominated, in those especially, and in the legislature. I mean, people who have held it before or in Congress, typically the majority are men. And if we have, just systemically, we're promoting people moving through, if we have that criteria, it would be great, and I think it's doing a service for people who do get through, that it was on their merit and that we voted on them for their credentials. And I think systemically it's important that we realize, when we perpetuate these norms, that we're giving a disadvantage to people of color, indigenous people, and women, when we have these types of norms that we perpetuate.
Councilmember Farrell.
Thank you. I would just say, during our, when Bill was here for his interview, Margaret asked the tough question about respect of the process, and he said he was undecided, which the question was, should we not advance you? You know, we've got a wonderful, robust set of candidates. It's a very happy problem. When we're picking our best advice for candidates for the legislature to consider, the question was asked, if we don't advance you, would you again continue your candidacy directly with the legislators? And he said he was undecided, that he would have to consider all the circumstances at the time and make his decision. So I was a little disappointed in that. I'd like to think that people who participate in our process respect it and know how hard we work at it to do a good and fair job. I can tell you, I've said I live in Eden Prairie. I went to our town hall meeting at our high school, met our legislators, and my senator approached me and asked how I was doing. My senator is also was the 10th grade history teacher for both of my daughters, so it's been a while, but we chatted. And he said, so what do you think of Bill Luther? And I was a little taken aback that he was, you know, obviously advancing his candidacy well in advance, you know. And my senator, I said, why do you like him? You know, I don't know enough about him, haven't been to the interview. I asked him, why do you like him? And he said, I don't know why he would be a good regent, but I think he's a good man. That was his answer. And I said, well, we need a little more answer to that to advance him. So I was disappointed at how busy he was advocating, and that he is undecided about advancing his candidacy with or without us.
Councilmember Menon.
Thank you. And I would just say, in respect to Representative Bernardi's comments, I think that it's not simply because he held the title, it's the gravity that comes with the title. 8 years in the United States House of Representatives, service on energy and commerce, foreign affairs, science, and small business committees. He's very qualified, and he's worked on a myriad of issues on the federal level. I don't think it's simply the title. I think it's all of the responsibilities that come with the title. And as a person of color, I absolutely respect and understand the desire to have that representation. But my vote for Congressman Luther will not be simply to forward him because he was a congressman, but it's because of everything that comes along with being a congressman, the responsibility that are entrusted to you, and the 20 years that he spent in our state legislature.
Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's the point I'm exactly making, that you would pass him on and vote because of his merit, and that's what the decision I will make as well, not just because he was a former congressperson, and so that's exactly the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
Councilmember Carlson.
To echo that, 15 years, what have you done for us lately as the University of Minnesota? I know he did a great job, but I am saying the same thing you are saying, that because you have general epaulets, or you have a conductor's baton, or you have all those accoutrements that you led at one point in time, does not give you the right to go past go. And I'll stop talking. But I will come back with, I'll fly back to Minnesota and help you deliver that message if I need to.
Councilmember Menon.
Yeah, I guess just to respond to that, I totally understand it. And we can see that here when we're looking at this piece of paper that he gave us, that 2003 is the last thing he entered. And I understand that concern. I guess the reason that I'm voting for him is that I think service in the United States House of Representatives and from 95 to 2003 is experience enough, and we can all disagree on that. But
we
yeah.
Councilmember Rogers.
I want to just for a second go back to Jim's history lesson. And when we determined at that time basically that there was enough legislators on the Board of Regents, Mr. Lanning was actually a representative from my district at the time, and I know for a fact that people, when we did not forward him, people encouraged him to take that route because of his experiences and his high visibility, his involvement of building the stadium, that sort of thing. Said, you can probably get appointed anyway. And he simply said, no, that isn't the way we were supposed to do things, so he refused to do that. So I think not simply based on, I would have argued that his credentials as in higher education and in governance over the many years, not at the state legislature, were better credentials than his position as a former legislator. But I would think that I appreciated his approach to that.
Additional comments? I'll offer one comment here, and it doesn't have much to do about resumes and past positions. I did like, and I don't remember this from 4 years ago, Congressman Luther raised the point that he'd been talking about student debt issues back when he was in Congress, which I don't think a lot of people were talking about it as robustly then. It seems to me he was kind of a forward looker in terms of that. But any other comments on Congressman Luther? We will move on to Regent to Abdul Omari. Councilmember Menon.
So speaking to the issues of incumbency that we've had a discussion about, and it's kind of, I understand that Regent Omari is an incumbent member of the Board of Regents, and I found him very, very engaging. And I really appreciate his service. I think he's done an excellent job as the student regent. I think the level to which we are holding other people who applied to the at-large seat has to be considered, and that he lacks a certain amount of experience, largely compared to other people outside of the Board of Regents. And I think if you remove that experience, and I would say we went through this list of student regents, very few of them, one, came back 20 years after he was a student regent to rejoin the Board of Regents. I don't view this seat as a stepping stone into another seat. I would love to, don't anticipate being on this council in 20 years, but I would love to see Regent Omari come back in 20 years with more experience than he currently has, with more professional life experience outside of the university, outside of the regents, and apply to come back.
Councilmember Rogers.
I have a question, a point. Is this really an incumbent position, or is this a new position? Because he's applying for a different position. Is this a new one?
I think that's...
Because he's not going for the student regent position again.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. He's not an incumbent for the position he's seeking. He's currently a regent, but...
And to Mr. Menon's point, we maybe look at him as a new applicant as compared to... the other incumbents we have.
I think that's up to everybody in the privacy of their own heart. Councilmember Christensen.
And Mr. Chair, I would echo that. I think we should look at this from the perspective of him as a new applicant, and what Councilmember Menon said about, you know, really the main experience he's bringing is his experience on the Board of Regents as a student member of the Board of Regents. And I think as we consider who we're electing, certainly there were a couple candidates in the student seat that also checked the box for the 5th District, and they were, you know, didn't receive a high level of support vote-wise from this committee. And I think that's because we're understanding that people running for the student seat are necessarily not going to have the level of experience or necessarily what we're looking for the other seats, but it's valuable to have that student perspective on the Board of Regents. So necessarily we're looking at people who don't have the same resume as the people who are running for the 5th District in the statewide position. So I think it's important that we're looking at Abdul Omari as a new candidate, not as a returning regent.
Vice Chair Taylor.
Let me speak to the issue that Theo and Drew have just raised. Abdul Omari indeed is finishing his first and only 6-year term as a student regent with the Board of Regents. However, he has just successfully completed a very significant responsibility as chair of the search committee that moved at a fast pace and has brought to us a wonderful new president. Secondly, he has served as the chair of the Mission Fulfillment Committee of the Board of Regents, which is a very important body that includes all 12 members. In addition to that, he currently serves as a director of the Greater Twin Cities YMCA, and so he has important governance experience beyond the time that he has spent as a regent. And one thing I will always remember, when I was seeking his references 6 years ago when he was applying for the student regent, and I had the privilege of talking with Justice Alan Page. Abdul Omari was a Page scholar. I can't speak any more strongly about my advocacy for Regent Omari than I just have done.
Councilmember Moore.
When we talk about equity and diversity, obviously Regent Omari checks the boxes, but I think what he will continue to bring to the Board of Regents is a leader who has the energy and who is wanting to be a part of those committees and wanting to be a leader. He's not somebody who wants to sit on the Board of Regents and, you know, comment every once in a while. He continues to step up. Obviously, as Vice Chair Taylor just said, I mean, leading the search for, you know, President-elect Gable, I mean, that's a huge responsibility. And so to say he doesn't have the experience and we should look at him as a new candidate, I think we can do that. But I think we'd be doing Minnesota a disservice. I think we'd be doing the university a disservice. And I'd also think we'd be doing the legislature a disservice if we did not send candidate Omari through. So I will be voting for him, and I think he's one of the most qualified candidates that we have if you look at what he's done for the U and what he will continue to do for the University of Minnesota.
Councilmember Menon.
Yes, and again, I found him very impressive in his interview, and I think he has done an excellent job serving our university as a student regent. And I think that we need to look at the precedent in the past. At the end, I believe at the end of the last 2 years of most of these student regents, they get to chair some sort of committee. I believe that's been precedent. So, are you sure? Okay, I was told that earlier. So, okay, but still, regardless, we need to look at experience outside of his role as a regent, and we need to compare that. Once you remove that from his role as a regent, we need to compare that to what else he's done and the other candidates who were considering for this at-large seat. The depth and the broad depth of experience that many of these people on this list bring is more than what Regent Omari brings, and I would like to see him bring more experience to the table in the future, because I think he's done an excellent job as a regent. I don't think this is a stepping off point for another position or for another position on the board.
Councilmember Olson.
I would like to expand on that, and just that we on this committee have kind of we can look at the Board of Regents and blow it up with magnifying glass so we can see all the work that he's done, but we can't do that for the other candidates because we don't have that look into all their experience in their board. So I think it's important to remember that we can see all the work that he's done on a micro level because of our position here, but we can't do that for the other candidates. So I think it's important to have that distinction when thinking about candidate Omari as well.
Councilmember England.
Chairman Walter, Regent Omari, this is probably one of the most difficult candidacy decisions I think we have here, because he's done, you know, a really interesting job as a regent, and yet there's some compelling arguments made on the other side to not support him going on. The thing I would like to point out, though, is that he chaired the presidential search, and so this is what will, if he doesn't advance, this is likely a case where the new president comes and the regent that she knew best, that led the search for her, won't be there when she takes office. And I think that there's some symbolism to that that we ought to think about. And the other piece of it is, part of that too, is that he is the regent she knows best. She spent the most time with him during this search. There is nobody else on the Board of Regents or seeking a seat on the Regents that knows her like Regent Omari. So, you know, it's a difficult decision. I get that, and there are a lot of perspectives to it.
Councilmember Carlson.
I think there are four outstanding women on this list, but I have to say, if one of those two at-large positions went to Abdul Omari, I would not be disappointed. He has great potential. I, like you, Theo, would love to see him go away and chart his future. He's going to be a star. But I think we have to say the university will be at a crisis with a new president. It has to be, always has been. You know, they'll come up. I think we need more maturity. So I, like you, John, I'm torn. I probably won't know till I check off the ballot.
Councilmember Brady.
I'm sure you all have your own process. I go through the names and say yes, no, and maybe. He's a maybe. I'm grateful for the conversation because it helped inform me, and I think I will check yes.
Additional comments? All right, we're moving on to Donovan Schwichtenberg.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Council Member England.
I'm not going to support his candidacy, but he was an interesting candidate and an unexpected candidate. And I was going to make this point at the end, but I'll make it now. One of the kind of the thrilling thing about, I know, you know, you look at spending a week here in a conference room can be tedious and boring, but one of the really interesting things about this search is that we interviewed 23 people who all have really compelling University of Minnesota stories. They have, they come at it from a lot of different perspectives, but they're all showing a passion and a willingness to kind of step up and serve on behalf of the university. I don't know what's going to happen to Mr. Schwichtenberg's candidacy, and I'm not supporting him, but I just want to make the point that he and every single other candidate we've seen have been very impressive and sort of affirming about the role of the university in the state. So I just want to make that point. Thank you.
Councilmember Carlson.
When I ask him the question about, I feel like I'm going to cry, diversity and inclusion, I've never heard a better answer. And what he said is, I'm sorry. He said, if there's a better woman or a person of color, you should put them ahead of me. I have never heard an answer so good. I happened to walk out with him to the elevator, and he said, I meant that. So I'm sorry. I don't know why.
No, I will. Since my comments seem to rank high points and low points of this process, I think that was one of the high points of this process as well. I was touched by that answer. That was you don't often.
Jeez, I'm a tough old bird.
Yeah. Additional comments. But thank you, Margaret. Appreciate that perspective. Councilmember Menon.
I do. I think. His service, you can see the transformation at St. Paul College. That should be something that to be noted is the transformation that institution has underwent during his term as president. I think he's a very impressive candidate on that front as well.
Councilmember Brady?
One of the questions that we presented was, you know, when you look at the landscape of higher education in Minnesota, the private, the Minnesota State Schools, and the University of Minnesota Schools, What I liked about this particular candidate was that it seemed to me that he has done some things to integrate those schools in a more better functioning whole. And I thought that he presented some things that might make all of those institutions work together better.
Councilmember Rogers?
I'll just make a comment. Is some of the unique things that this candidate has is his experience the entire range of education. And he started out, and I don't know if many people are aware, that I actually have a degree in education as well, and everyone had to spend time at the university high school at that time. Then they combined it to Marshall U, and that's where he really started as the principal of those two combined schools. So he had to do with all the educational research and development of instructors, and then as he went from on. So I think just as, that's a note that if people aren't aware that he didn't talk much about that, but just having some little inside knowledge of what it would take to do that, I think he's very unique in that way. I don't think that necessarily qualifies him as good as some of our candidates we have, but he needs to be appreciated for that.
Councilmember Farrell.
I just wanted to comment that I appreciate that this process, that we're all committed to it being as transparent and open and public, with a call to our constituencies across the state. And if you're qualified and interested in serving as a Board of Regents, you know, you can step up and do that. In response to Dan's op-ed piece, Mr. Schwichtenberg read it and said, the university is important to me and I would like to offer my services. So I love that he came to this conversation from that very independent, sort of chauffeured way to get here. He raised his hand and said, I trust you people with your independence and your appraisal of my skills. And I again, compliments to Dan's op-ed piece and compliments to Mr. Schwichtenberg for responding.
Additional comments? All right, last name, Sandy Weiss. I'll start. You probably all noticed up here that I kept listings of who was asking questions, just so I knew who to call in and so forth. She had about 40% more questions than anybody else. What really impressed me was that like the lightning round in terms of the volume of questions, the amount of information. I mean, it wasn't fast talking or anything, but it was. I was struck by her. Expertise in the whole range of topics throughout this process. So that's Margaret, did you, Councilmember Carlson? she seek recognition.
Excellent experience in high school education, law, legislative affairs, knows the complexities of the U. It would only take her a year to get up to date. It's not going to take 6 years. She came from bipartisan support. If you're, you know, work with the Bush administration in Washington, and, you know, don't be confused by her style. I've known her for many, many years. I didn't even know she was running till we saw the list, and she did not call me up. But she has a quiet, thoughtful style. And she's another one of these people that she would embrace all 8 people who are returning and new, whatever. They would all work better together if Sandy was in the room.
Councilmember Otto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I don't know this candidate outside of this process whatsoever, but I do, I will say she is, of all of the candidates, the one that stood out the most to me, and she's also the only candidate to which other members, other folks I know outside of this room and outside of this entire arena have reached out to me expressing their support. Of this candidate, and anyone that's willing to serve on a church council and put it on their resume, I think, is an extraordinary person.
Councilmember Menon.
I'd like to echo the points that were made. Her broad, you know, she's had so much private experience in the area of government affairs, and then also so that she brings that perspective in terms of the corporate side, and she also brings a governing perspective from the Wisconsin State Legislature to being chief of staff to a cabinet level official. I think that's she brings a really impressive array of skills, and I look forward to voting for her. I think she's proven herself to be an excellent candidate.
Councilmember Farrell.
I would just like to say as well, I think she's absolutely a top candidate. I couldn't have been more impressed with her. I have met her briefly in the past, but had actually forgotten that, and she reminded me of that when I thanked her at the end of the conversation. She could only answer that many questions because she was confident and crisp and to the point, and that is a wonderful quality. She didn't filibuster, she didn't hem and haw, she didn't speak. I really love that. And in addition to her commitment to the University of Minnesota in her service, I was very touched by what she said about the Salvation Army, because I do think the Salvation Army is an organization that if it's in your blood, you are always going to say yes to help them when they ask you. They serve some of the most unfranchised people in our community, and I love that she gives her talents to them as well.
Councilmember Rogers.
Some notes I made about I hadn't known about her before, but some of the things I was impressed with is her knowledge of the other campuses of the university. She seemed to be well-versed and actually spent time learning these things. She mentioned a passion for developing a workforce to meet the job market demand, which is she assumed this is something for the university to do. And I don't know if this was her statement, something that I wrote down, that a real strength was her understanding of the University of Minnesota structures and issues.
Thank you. Councilmember Millsmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was going to mention that same thing that Councilmember Rogers said about her. She really started from the perspective of she understands sort of the length and the breadth of the university, and from someone who hasn't participated as deeply as some others in this ecosystem, she knew the university system. And the other thing, it was interesting you mentioned the number of questions that she had, and I have to wonder if part of that wasn't driven by, of all the candidates I had listened to and we interviewed, she seemed to have some of the freshest eyes that were looking on some of the challenges facing the university, and offering specifics, and maybe not even suggesting, and she wasn't saying that this is the route, but she seemed so open to all possibilities and solutions. And so of all the candidates, of which we had, you know, I think a tremendous tremendous group, she struck me as the candidate with the most open mind and looking at all of these issues with the freshest mind, or the freshest eyes, And back to what Barb said, I would echo too. She was crisp and to the point. She's thought this through, and she was able to articulate some of these very specific answers. And I appreciated that because, you know, with no disrespect to some of the candidates, they said a lot without revealing much. Mm-hmm. And this candidate revealed a lot.
Councilmember England.
I agree with everything. And when you say that she took 40 questions, it didn't seem like it.
Well, not 40. 40% more than the average. Sorry. Yeah. No wonder it didn't seem like it.
Even so.
I think it was like 18, so, but we were averaging 11.
Or 21, whatever it was. It didn't seem like it. She, because her answers were so crisp, and there, you know, and some of those questions weren't easy. Like, I think I asked her to sort of defend the Gopher Athletics versus the academic mission, and she just went boom, 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 boom. And you know, that's impressive.
Additional comments? Okay, that brings us to the end of the list of candidates. Now is kind of the time to talk before we vote or do the first ballot. Any other larger? I know Representative Bernardi had some perspective here, so I'll recognize Representative Bernardi.
Right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Not that I have. Well, you already probably know. I think it's important that we have diversity and we have gender balance on the Board of Regents, so that's clear. I also like hearing all the whole committee's input on these types of things, and you know, there probably are some things that we want to accomplish together as we move candidates forward. And so I just wanted to know if we were going to engage in that kind of conversation for people to contribute what they're hoping to get out of this system, and so that collectively maybe we can achieve that together.
Council Member Erickson.
When the vote is announced, I suspect we'll all rush off, and I just want to take the opportunity to say that in my five cycles here, this is my fifth, this has been the most elegant process, the most well-thought-out process, the most participatory process, and I think it'll come out with the very best result that we send across the street. So I think we've all should, I'm honored to be in part of this process. I think we've done it, we've gotten better all the time, and this group has done wonderful work, and I hope that I know that our members that are here that are now gonna take the responsibility, they have a tough job. We've done our job, but theirs gets tougher now. So I wanna thank them for doing it, and I wanna commend all of you and say how much I've been honored by being part of this wonderful process this time. And you, Mr. Chairman, for your leadership.
Councilmember Carlson.
I will key off on that. This is my fifth time going through this process as well. And kudos to the legislators who stuck in and listened to the tapes. And I hope you carry the message back to the full legislature that we heard the criticism about the process before and started to retool it, have really worked on it. And I hope all of you, and Drew, even you with your past contacts, would tell people this is a good process. We were not perfect. We tried to make it better. And we actually had fun doing it after the microphones were turned off.
Not a quorum. This is kind of starting to sound like the exit speech thing, and I just want to make sure we realize we can't run off at the end because we do have a business meeting once we're done with this in terms of some things. But I want to, Representative Bernardi, I think your point is a good one as it pertains to the diversity issues in particular. I mentioned with one of our candidates who did not make it through the process 2 years ago and who had authored the op-ed in the paper challenging us on the this group and the legislature on issues as they pertain to gender equity and diversity. I think we've really taken that seriously this time. The array of candidates here, the diversity of them. I think amongst the student candidates, for example, I don't think there is a you know, with there's not a straight white male in that group of candidates, for example, and it's the gender question, I think, is a big a big issue for us, and I think we've taken it seriously this time. After reading her op-ed a couple times ago, I took reflection and said, yeah, we all are, you know, it's a bunch of heavyset white men sitting there. So we need to, and there's sheet cake for after the meeting. But so I hope people are mindful of that. And I know, you know, in the past, I know there's been pressures from various efforts. Let's narrow this list down as far as we can get it. Let's send two. I think we've learned from that in the past that the example you gave about the first district a couple of years ago where one candidate dropped out. So there really was one. So they had to bypass the process to find somebody that met the various, you know, partisan tests behind caucus doors. I think there's a case to be made here to be sending full slates and a range of options, and particularly as it pertains to some diversity issues, I think that's important to keep in mind. So anyway, that's kind of my teeing off of your point. Does anybody else have any comments or thoughts? Council member Brady.
Thank you. It's 2019, and I have complete not the time, the year. But speaking of time, my term expires in 2020, and so I've been through two cycles of this. I believe this to be my last rodeo, and I want to echo what has been said. I think the process has improved over time. I think the willingness of people to speak up positively, negatively, but just to speak up without fear has increased over the period that I've been on this, and I think that the leadership has been particularly good this year. So it's been a pleasure and an honor to serve with all of you, and good job by all. Thank you.
Just a last thought.
Council Member Carlson.
I thought about the experiences and skills that are really missing from my perspective of sitting in the Regents meetings. Medical, the Fairview Partnership, top of the list, but also K through 12 and higher education. It is a feeder system for what we do. Someone mentioned strategic planning. They've been talking about this since for ages. It's really time to look at it, both at the U and the system of higher education. And then good governance. So as you look at candidates and look at filters, if you can fill the four seats, you, the legislature, can fill looking at that, I think we're in good shape and you won't hear me complain anymore.
Additional comments, or are we ready to move to the ballot? I won't say final ballot, it's the final first ballot. All right.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah, and then we will take a break for Vice Chair Taylor.
I hope this is Bernardi.
Dan, you can vote up to eight.
Council Member.
Oh yeah, you can vote up to eight. By the way,
Brady mentioned that he will finish his term in 2020. That's January of 2020. So you will be the chair of the House Higher Education Committee at that time, and you will have an opportunity to work closely with Speaker of the House Hortman to early on know which positions need to be filled before we meet again as a body in December of 2020, and it will be a good opportunity for you to think about how to have a body of 24 citizens that are more broadly representative than you correctly noted are as we are here today. So.
Thank you, Paul. And you can vote for up to eight on this. And then we are going to take a brief break to use the hand dryers.
Oh, we're going to take a